Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, After Buzzers. You are watching the Jane the Virgin After Show, Chapter 20. The song that we're starting with right now is just a little coincidence because the artist's name is Romeo Santos, which has to do with the passions of Santos, and this song is singing, asking love to not come knocking on my door because he wants nothing to do with you. It's so good. Anyway, so before we get started, go ahead and subscribe to our page below if you haven't already, and or find us on iTunes or on SoundCloud. Rate us 5 stars, leave us comments, let us know what you think so that we can make the show that much better for you. To my left, I have my lovely host.
Did you say your
name? Oh, I didn't. You can. I'm Stephanie Georgie, and you can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie.
I was like, that was so great. I am Madison Chase, your trainer to the stars and the star in you, and the voice of virginity. That's why I love this show, among so many other things. And you can find me on social media, on Twitter at Madison Chase Fit, and I guess we'll do the rest at the end.
Absolutely. Yes. Excellent. So why don't we go ahead and get started with our flashbacks, and tonight we started with the flashbacks of when Jane started watching her telenovelas at a very young age.
Yes.
And why, and because of the novelas and because they're so dramatic, later in life she learns what happens to people when they get amnesia and when they recover from amnesia and when love and dramaticness strikes everyone. And it was good. What do you think?
It was good, yeah, because they kind of, again, it's foreshadowing, for what's going to happen. And so with Abuela and Magda, like, that's kind of what the scene opens with. So, yes, I thought it was good. Of course, I love the show, so.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I loved the scene when Jane, we leave off from the last episode where Jane and Abuela see Magda get out of the car, and Abuela remembers that that was the woman who pushed her down the stairs. So Jane's talking to Abuela and telling her that she knows that she's scared, mm-hmm. and that but we still have to go to the cops and everything, and then she gets upset, and then Xiomara comes in. All yes. upset. Have you ever had a moment like that? Have you ever been so mad that you just had to shut the door 3 times loud that way?
Not 3 times, but maybe like a really good workout. Instead of like slamming the door. And or like, you know, back in the day when you had like real phones, you could slam the phone. You guys don't know about that, but there used to be this thing called a landline.
They don't even have, I mean, they have cordless phones now, but not really.
Not like old school, like slam the yes. phone down, which really makes no sense because a click is a click, right?
Exactly.
Regardless of how you hang it up, like nobody knows that you, that you hammered down the phone. So, yeah, that's probably what I would do. I would probably go to the gym like at 12 o'clock at night and just run on the treadmill like Forrest Gump.
And you would do that because what I would have done is what these girls did, and that was eat a grilled cheese sandwich. Thank you, Abuela.
Comfort food.
Comfort food.
That was a
and
really
cheese
good
is always a comfort food.
I don't know. I just think about what happens to cheese and then what happens after that.
No,
I'm just
girl.
Not really a cheese person.
That's okay. I used to not be a cheese person, but
I'm more of a chocolate person.
That cheese, that grilled cheese that Abuela made for
good,
the
though.
Okay, thank you. That's okay. all. That's all I need. That's all I need.
That did look good.
And then we get some good news because Rogelio is offered his position back on the Passions of Santos.
I know, that was cute.
Which is so funny because it reflects what's going on in Abuela's life.
Yes.
And then we see him all happy again. Mm-hmm. And that's good because he needs to be in that show and he needs to be in a better place because he was using the position that he was in now to kind of push Xiomara away.
Yes. And yeah, you mean push her away because it wasn't the position that he really wanted.
Right, and because he had originally, he stayed in Miami for her.
Yes.
And instead of getting that the offer that he had gotten that was going to be better than Passions of the Santos.
Right.
So he stuck with something mediocre. But
Playing the head.
That was so weird.
The green suit was hysterical. When he starts dancing.
Oh, I know.
With the cupcakes.
And it was funny because she was smart. The head of the writing department for Passions of the Santos, she put his little face on it. Of course, that would charm him.
Of course. Yeah.
And it was the young version of him.
You know what? I think I'm not going to say most men, but a lot of men, like if you feed into their ego, it's
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable what happens.
It's true.
Ladies.
It's true.
Note to self.
Right? And then we see Jane. And I like, during the episode, on the bottom of the screen, we see the percentile of everyone's emotions. And so we get to see that throughout, like, every scene with everyone. And we start with Jane and Raph, because Jane is getting her checkup.
Her ultrasound.
Yeah. And we find out that the baby is in breech.
Yeah.
Which means that the baby is upside down, so its head is facing up. Really, it's actually right
the
side up.
The feet are down.
Yeah, but the feet are down, and the head needs to be for it to be the same, the right way.
And then she said, like, you learn some really good terms if you've never had a baby. You could actually learn some stuff from the show. Because she was like, the bigger the baby gets, the harder that it is for the baby to actually turn around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think people don't really think about the life in the mirror of having a baby. I have a friend and she just had twins. And I was amazed that I think one twin weighed 4 pounds, the other one weighed 7. And she had them both naturally.
Oh my goodness.
Right. And not only that, the other one, the bigger one, the 7-pounder, he actually waited 41 minutes after the first one came out, because he was like, oh, I got room in here.
Right?
Let me stretch out. This is comfortable. I'm going to kick back. So I was like,
and the little one was just like, get me out of here.
Like, get me out. I have no room.
My brother already done took all my food. I'm 3 pounds lighter.
Yes, it's a huge difference, but they're doing really well. But I never thought about that. I just assumed when most people say I'm having twins that gonna be
the
a
weight C-section. Was oh really
I mean I don't know I mean I could totally be wrong but I would just think that like
yeah
but
to be easier but would, no they'd be popping them out
obviously she popped them out.
That's so funny. And I like to see when Jane gets frustrated because Raph is like, what does breech mean? And then she's like, oh, it's not his fault. I only told him 3 times to read the
book. Yeah, she kind of gave him a little jab, which we'll see later.
I know.
That comes for the wrestling match. But
I really liked seeing Raph in this position, though, because you do see him vulnerable and then attempting to be distant, knowing that he still is in love with her, but he has to kind of make this decision. Or you know, he's trying to play this persona now just to keep the baby safe and for everything else to be okay. But I don't know. It was just nice. And then something else happens later that I wanted to happen. So that was good.
I just don't understand. And this happens in life with people. Like, why can't you just say what it really is?
Right.
Like, if the issue is you think, you know what, I think I'm going to disappoint you. And he keeps saying that. I don't want to disappoint you. And I don't want to fail. And I don't want to fail at running my dad's business. And I don't want to fail at being a potentially great boyfriend, husband. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to fail at being a potentially good father. So his issue is...
It falls back to his ego.
His ego. Again, like, stop it.
Yeah.
Ross.
It always falls back to that.
Justin Baldoni. I mean, I'm just saying.
God, you're so amazing, Justin.
You are amazing, because I'm really not liking you right now, because you are like, it's so funny, because he is the kind of guy that most women would want.
Oh, I know.
To fall in love with him.
Right? I've already fallen in love with him, and it's horrible, because he's a married man.
You want that man that you know, that is successful, but then that's the very thing, I mean, again, with my ex, like, he runs his own business, and the one thing that I liked about him was the very thing I didn't like about him. But I did find that he would find ways, like, you know, to try to make me feel special. Mm-hmm. Like, he would get somebody else to work for him so that we could hang out at night.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay, that's sweet. But yeah, I totally think that ego is such a huge thing for men. And I get it. I get it. Like, a good man wants to be a provider.
Yeah. And I think that he also just had, like, truly internal issues. where that was just colliding with all of his emotions and all of his decision making in general. So.
Yes, I mean, because he talks about his dad dying, his mother taking $2 million to actually walk away from him. Mm-hmm. Who does that?
Right, I know.
You know, when you're four,
exactly.
You're a terrible person. Like she is. I was gonna say horrible, terrible, like every bad word that she could possibly. Like who walks away from their child for money? Mm. I couldn't. I wouldn't. I don't care how much money you gave me, but.
And you know who's not walking away is Xiomara from Rogelio. She is just she's just working so hard to stay in his life. And, you know, that's one of those things. I mean, how do you feel about just a kiss that means nothing?
Again, we're talking about ego because he did the same thing. Like, just because he didn't kiss her back.
Amanda kissed him.
Yes, I know. But he said she didn't kiss me back. Still the same thing. But I get it because part of it is ego that she kissed him.
Exactly. Of course.
And they have a past, even though his past was a little sordid with the teacher, the romance teacher. It's a bit different because it was a casting couch situation, which I thought was hysterical when he was explaining the whole situation. But then again, it's so funny because you have so many people that believe in these shows that, you know, like you think the character is real. And so she again thought that, oh, he's interested in me because he's apologizing. No, that's not what that means. That means
I'm just trying to make things cool with you right now.
I'm trying to make things okay with you. And again, ego again. Mm-hmm. Because he probably felt that she was coming because she was so close. But he always is a little oblivious and naive.
Oblivious, but at the same time feeds into it because he likes, he is a man of, who loves attention.
His ego strokes.
His ego strokes.
Right? Absolutely.
And, yeah, so, but I guess Xiomara just keeps trying and she keeps trying. She calls him, it says that she calls him 18 times and he returns 0 times.
He's mad.
Right?
You have to let people cool off when they're mad. Mm-hmm. You gotta let them cool off.
That's true. And who finally cooled off was Luisa, because she decided to return.
Yes, her girlfriend, Juicy.
Juicy Jordan.
That is, like, the funniest name ever. And the fact that she's like, isn't there a recording artist named Juicy? Juicy, no,
Juicy
Jesse.
J. Juicy J. Oh, there's a Jesse J, but there's Juicy also.
There's a Juicy J, too?
Juicy, it's, like, one of the best songs also. Or that's, Juicy's the song, Pretty Ricky is the artist, I think. Okay. I don't know. Regardless. It exists out there, but it was funny because she was a wrestler. And
that is so funny in the way they were like,
oh, I know. Oh, my God. Like, oh, I know. Wow. It was too much. How did you see Luisa? Did you feel like she was better?
I think when you find love, however you find it, she seems better and she seems more in control. Like, I want my shares back. And she said that she had an IQ of, was it 15 or 152?
Yeah, something, yeah.
Something with 1.5.
And that she went through medical school practically drunk.
Drunk, yeah. So she is, like, on her game. Like, yeah, I'm in love. I got my new boo, Juicy, and
and I'm a genius.
I'm a genius.
And she did seem refreshed, and it's funny how sometimes you just need someone to replace that in order to make things better.
They say that the best way to get over someone is to get
into
underneath someone.
That's right. That's funny.
I don't know if I agree with that because we see what happened with Michael and Andy.
Yes. I think more crazy. So it's just to have the company of like the opposite sex and someone that you're interested in. Not necessarily just like a friendship, but a little bit more than that.
I think for somebody to be interested in you, because what probably ends up happening a lot of times is that you'll rebound. Yeah, you'll rebound and you'll seek the attention of someone else just because you're lonely. Mm-hmm. Not because you want an emotional connection or because you want the physical connection to feel like it's the emotional connection, and it's really not.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. That was, so we're going to see what they're going to do. And then between Raph and Petra, who are the ones that see them, they're like, oh God, what's going to happen? And it's funny because now Petra has gotten used to her position of authority and like owning a third of the hotel.
Yes.
So.
But she's still.
And I really wonder if Milos is ever going to come back in the picture with that. Well, he was hinted in this one.
Yeah.
But speaking of Milos and everything else, Jane is in the locker room and she sees Magda come in, whom is the mother of Petra. And Jane just gets mad when she sees her. She gets emotional and she confronts her and she's like, I know that you pushed my grandmother down the stairs. And then she wasn't supposed to say something, but she did. And then seeks out when she goes and tells Abuela that. Mm-hmm. And then Abuela and her look all awkward when Xiomara come in. And Xiomara's like, what's going on? And then they all get mad. And Xiomara has the idea to ask Michael. And then in the same time, she tells Jane that Michael was the one that helped them out when, when Abuela was like,
to be deported.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Which was really great because the best part is, and I knew this was going to happen for Jane, was that it was going to hit her the second that Xiomara said, well, he told me not to tell you because he didn't want you to think that it was so that you could get her back, which is great. And mm-hmm. the way that Jane is, the person that she is, would appreciate that and would see that as something like, oh, you see, he's still that Michael that she fell for, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
But, and then afterwards we see her go up to him and that was really emotional. I knew she was going to cry when she saw him and I knew that he felt great about it when he held on to her. Because it's, you know, he's a man, another ego thing, right? Where he...
And competition.
Oh my goodness. But also just like to know that she still seeked comfort in him.
Yes. And I think, I don't know if this happens in this particular scene that we're talking about, where she says, why didn't you tell me about Andy? Or he said, why didn't you tell me that Andy was stalking you?
That was before.
That was before. We haven't talked about that, though, right?
No, I think that was last week.
Oh, it was last week? I thought it was in this episode.
Or maybe it was.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's in
this one. I don't know. Y'all let us know. That's funny.
Okay.
And then we get back to the scene with Raph, Petra, Luisa and Juicy, and they're trying to think of ideas and propose. Oh, no, excuse me. Luisa asked them to propose ideas for, like, what to do, and so they go up to Luisa, and they give her some ideas, and she didn't really decide. She didn't like them so much, and she kind of takes advantage of the fact that they're catering to her a lot and decides that they should have a wrestling match with Juicy against her arch nemesis. Oh, I didn't write down the name. A man or something. I didn't write down Candy Girl. Candy Crush. And then it ends up working out because they said that it was a different crowd and that it would bring in a different type of cash flow.
Yeah,
they just wanted to please Luisa so that she didn't go nuts. And so they let it happen and they start producing that.
Which is hysterical.
It is hysterical.
Because then you see everybody else in their fights and their matches. So Petra has a match with Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Roth has a pseudo kind of match with Michael.
Right. Because she gets mad and Michael's trying to do this investigation and they do bring in Magda and Petra for questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good about denying everything. And then at a moment, Jane gets the idea that she'll be, or I guess that comes a little bit. No, Jane gets the idea that she'll be able to catch Petra because she finds a picture of
Yvonne
in the bedroom. And so then she meets up with Michael. Ooh, actually, this is the part that I love. She meets up with Michael and she tells him like, oh, I found this picture. So then, you know, there was someone in the room, which is what Abuela had said, that she had heard a man yelling for help. And then Michael's like, okay, cool. We're going to do the investigation and everything else. And as they finish talking, you know, she's like kind of giddy about it and she walks away. Love it. And Raph is standing right there. It boils up in him, which is so crazy because you think about 20 episodes ago when the roles were switched and it was the other way around.
Yep.
And now it's kind of going back again. It's so weird. Like, what a lucky girl, these two men that are just so
fighting for
unbelievably
her.
In love with her. Absolutely. But whatever, Raph needed that to be like, to make sure that he was doing the right thing. And Michael had a little smirk on his face.
He sure did. I was like, go, Michael.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. And I've been so torn between the two all this time. I love them both. I am, but you know what? Raph is supposed to be with Jane.
Absolutely, he is.
Just Michael's wonderful, and I just want to see something really good happen to him.
And it's not Andy. I liked her. I mean, in person.
Rachel.
Nice. Rachel.
Which is so funny. Sorry. Side note and little fun fact. I was at work and my friend was showing me pictures of her, like, new studio.
Mm-hmm.
And on her bed, I was like, oh, is that Rachel DiPaolo? She's like, how do you know Rachel? I'm like, I interviewed her that like, it was Thursday. So I was like, I interviewed her 2 days ago. And she's like, wow, AfterBuzz, she came to my place right after years.
That is hysterical. I love it.
I know. It's hilarious. So what a small, small world.
You think LA is that small? I think it's pretty small.
Yeah. But anyways, back to the show. And this whole episode kind of has to go around with the fact that Abuela remembers and that they're trying to get Petra and Magda. Jane asks Raph to get Magda out of the hotel, which it works because he tells Petra and Petra has to kind of fire her mom. But before all of that happens, you know, Magda being the freaking gypsy that she is.
And Evelina.
Yeah, she talks to Jane and she threatens Jane with the fact that she had searched Alba on the internet and found that there was no like sign of her or anything and that she really doesn't speak any English. And she's like, oh, is your grandmother legally here?
Yeah.
And so just back off and whatever. And it's just stupid because Petra kind of works it out to where Magda's going to work somewhere else. And then I don't even know. But then we find out later that Jane really wants Petra out as well because she's an accomplice to attempted murder.
Yes.
I mean, with reason. This is all reason, but it's just getting so complicated and Jane's getting so defensive.
And the fact that Petra now wants to fight for Raph because she knows.
Oh, did you see her face?
Oh, my gosh. What?
Like, but does she love him, though? That's what I don't understand.
I don't think she loves him. I think she just sees this as an opportunity.
Again?
To get the money and to...
Oh, my God. How annoying. What a weirdo. Like, what a sicko now. I mean, I get that we were like, oh, she's victimized and we've gone back and forth. But you know what? Yeah. She is just messed up in her head.
She's totally messed up because for you, like, if that were my mom and you push somebody down the stairs.
After lying for how long?
After lying for X amount of years and I had to almost get my throat, slit for you to stand up and say, no.
Right.
You've been lying to me this whole time?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, you need to be committed. Like, something's wrong with you.
No, absolutely. Put her in a home.
And I would say, is there something wrong with me because this crazy person raised me? That's what I would think.
Oh, I know, right? Right? How does she not reflected yet? Or asked to go, to go see somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's ridiculous.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. And then I like the part that Xiomara continues throughout this entire episode to go to Rogelio, and we always think that it's going to work, and then finally she does what is going to work, and she goes up to Rogelio, because really, when someone's in love, they kind of just want to be in their presence.
Yeah.
And so she goes up to Rogelio, she's like, look, I accept it, I accept your decision, I get what you're coming from, but that's okay. I'm letting you know that it's okay. And so you can come around the house. You can come see Jane and it'll be all right. Like, we're not going to be together. And I've accepted that and we're okay. And then you see Rogelio's face just be hurt because everyone wants someone to fight for them. And she's like, oh, damn, she gave up so quickly. But really, hopefully he sees it as something very charming and flattering that this woman is, you know, just being the bigger person or not even being the bigger person, but just a respectable person and accepting the fact and
that you're mad.
Yeah. And that she's strong enough to be around him regardless.
Yes.
Where clearly we see that he's not because he got weak within just that moment.
Right. I would say, how much time do you need to get over this?
Yeah.
You need a week? You need a month? You need 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
Let me know so when you're done being mad that we could get back to being in love. That's what I would say.
I know.
Which is kind of what Jane did. She was like, no, this has to work.
She did do that because then we see Raph, he calls Jane and he lets her know, he calls to just comfort her and lets her know that Magda's not working there anymore and this and that.
Yes.
And you see him just sitting there and it was so, and at the end he was about to say, or it sounded like he was going to say, I love you, but he was just like, I'll see you later.
Mm-hmm.
But Raph, you could tell he was just like, why am I calling her and leaving her voicemail? I just want to be around her. This is the mother of my child. And I like that he uses that in defense with Petra, too, though. He's like, no, you're going to have to do this because regardless, she's carrying my baby and she's being stressed and I don't need her to be stressed.
Yep.
So he's really taking on this man role, this fatherly, protective role, the alpha role. And it's important. But then, right, y'all, the most emotional part. So we see... We see Jane after during that phone call. Jane is at her house and she's just trying to practice things. You know, she's trying to do things on her own because Jane is that type of a person. She's so humble. She's such a beautiful character. And so she gets like a curling iron and she uses one of the many methods that she uses throughout the episode to get the baby to rotate. She does the elephant walk, which is where you're walking upside down because of gravity. And then she does music so that it makes the baby want to go towards the music. And then the last thing that she does is putting the, what was the candle called? It was a Magda candle. And she puts it in between she has the curling iron to hold it. Mm-hmm. And then she rests her feet and she lights it. And so that the smoke just goes onto the feet. Mm-hmm. And then it's supposed, again, it's supposed to have the baby rotate. Then she, which I knew was going to happen because she lets the candle sit right over a blanket, like a wool blanket, not even a wool blanket because wool wouldn't even light like that.
It's a baby's blanket.
Yeah, baby's blanket. Mm-hmm. And it lights on fire. And then Abuela comes in panic and she's like, look, Jane, ¿qué estás haciendo? ¿Cómo te ocurre? Whatever, blah, blah. And what she's saying is just like, what are you thinking? Why are you being so silly? Why are you being so stupid? Like, why would you do something like that? You could have hurt yourself. You could have hurt the baby. Typical mother reacting to something like that. Mm-hmm. And then Jane's like, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I know that I shouldn't have done it. And Jane just breaks down and she just says that she's trying to prepare herself for this single life that she's going to live. And I think that while she's yelling back to her grandmother that she was realizes. Just trying to practice and she was trying to prove to herself that she could do this because what she is a single mother and she didn't plan for it. She didn't think it was going to happen. And she just breaks down and it's so sad. And I was crying.
I wasn't crying. I was mad. I'm like, that stupid Raphael.
I know. But then I almost can't be mad at him because he's kind of doing it with good reason, but not really.
No, it's not good reason. It's not good reason when someone's pregnant. Like, you are missing out on precious time.
Yes, exactly.
You're missing out on time because, again, after that happens and she realizes I'm single and the baby actually turns.
I know.
And she sees him the next day and she says, he said, why didn't you call me? She was like, I figured I would see you.
Like, she's like, it happened in the middle of the night and I knew I would see you. Well, ooh, but good girl, because that's going to hit him. Like,
of course it is. But I think they'll get back together. But it's just stupid. I think it's really.
It is. It's just so sad for Jane because she's this virgin who's pregnant that was accidentally inseminated and then falls in love with her first love.
I was going to say that when they were skinny dipping and they were trying to work things out in the counseling session, I think part of the reason when we see him talking to the counselor and he realizes that he almost would have had sex with her, and he knows that that's exactly not what she wants.
And he would have ruined it.
And he would have ruined it for her. And I was, when I saw that, bro, I was like, no, don't do it, Jane.
Yeah. You see, but that's what's so good about Raph or that's the good part of it, because Raph he's genuinely thinking about this person, and, you know, think about all the guys that you've been with, and there's just a handful of men that really put, like, the person that they love in front of them and down to how they're going to feel and their emotions so that he's learned her so much that he knew that. And he would have never wanted to do that because she doesn't deserve it. And that was a little bit of a beautiful part.
It was.
And I don't know. I mean, it was just unfortunate. And then I'm just grateful though that Luisa came around and that she kind of sparked his anger, and he finally said he gave up everything, and he opens up to his sister, and he says that he gave up Jane so that this could all work out. And then I'm so grateful that Luisa is in her right mind to say, look, before all of this happened, when I accidentally inseminated Jane with your sperm.
Right.
She's like, we used to talk all the time. I wasn't coddled and taken care of. And you know, when people have to like start watching over you because you're a psycho. And she's like, no, we used to talk about everything. Right. And you should talk to me again. And I'm so, so happy that Raph wasn't above himself to be like, no. Instead, because he has no mother, and thank God they don't share the same mother, so she's in a different place as well.
Right.
That he did. He opened up and you just see them in the lounge and they're just talking about, he tells her everything.
Yeah.
And Luisa just tries to talk to him. She does. And she uses some of her, you know, her medical background and says that I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that your mother left you and you wanted to leave Jane before she was going to leave you, which makes sense because I could see that he saw himself kind of messing up so much to the point that was going to happen. You know?
But I also think because he doesn't know a lot about pregnancy or being pregnant, that he's not even thinking, what's going to be the lesser of two evils? Me being completely out of her life or me messing up while I'm in her life? Mm-hmm. She'd rather you mess up and be in her life than you.
Right, so that you guys can do it together.
Yeah, so that you could do it together. Like,
I don't know. I don't know because, okay, he has to be careful because it's always a little too late. So you don't want it to get there. Mm-hmm. But look, he read the book afterwards. And then he learned his, like, you know what I'm saying? He's still working on it, and I feel like he does need this distance, but he just has to be very careful. He's, like, walking on eggshells here to try to make this work for him. I mean, really, he just shouldn't be calculating things if he needs it for himself. But it's like when people say that they're not ready. How can you love someone when you don't love yourself? If he can't do it, he can't do it as a person.
But
he shouldn't have been dishonest about the loving her part.
Exactly. Okay. He shouldn't have been dishonest about it. But he also should say, yes, I'm still grieving my father. Yes, I'm still grieving my mother. Yes, I'm still grieving my sister. Like, he has a lot of stuff going on. And I might have to grieve the loss of this hotel, mm-hmm. which is the business that my father, you know, worked on.
And the legacy of his future baby.
And the legacy of his baby. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And I think because she is not a business person, she doesn't really understand it. And she doesn't understand someone who wants to be a provider. So it's a catch-22. But I also think with Roth, like, she wants to try to work on it. And you can never put yourself in someone else's place when they say, this is what I want. Don't tell me what you think I want and deserve. I'm telling you what I want. Right. And she's very calculated, analytical, type A personality. She knows what she wants. So you're, again, not listening to her saying what she wants, and the fact that she was like, no, this is gonna work. I know you saw your mother, and I know that's very hurtful for you, but let's work through this.
And she's obviously the type of person that would be supportive.
Absolutely.
So that's what's upsetting about it. And then above all, when there is a little bit of dishonesty involved in anything that you do, that's why honesty is the best policy, because an honest man has nothing to fear. Mm-hmm. But Raf is thinking that he's doing these good things, proceeds to tell Jane again about how Magda's gone, this and that. And Jane goes, well, what about Petra? He's like, what do you mean, what about Petra? She's, remember what I said, he wants, mm-hmm. but that fires her up so much. And he tries to tell her that he can't just fire her because of all these things that are involved and what domino effect it would make. And Jane continues with saying, I quit.
Yep.
So she says she quits and he gets upset or whatever, but she goes to her abuela and her mom and says, you know what? Like, Raf is doing all of this right now. Mm-hmm. He's associated with Luisa, who did Sin this Rostro. To her. And then she was associated with Sin Rostro. Mm-hmm. And then Petra, who's also a psycho. And it's just all these people that are weirdos at the Mirabella. And that's where her baby would be. And she comes to the conclusion of...
Full custody. No, Jay. No.
So she wants to call a lawyer, and that ish will blow the F up.
No.
And you know, Raf with his money, Raf with his defensiveness, the fact that he's already fallen in love with this baby, is in love with Jane. And then people just start getting passionate. Yes. And now we're going to have Petra's little sketchy ass right in his ear.
Yes.
Saying who knows what. And then Michael, who's going to be covering, taking care of Jane. This is what I said last week when I was talking to y'all that I was afraid of.
What did you say?
All the side relationships that are going to develop because of one relationship that's on pause.
Yep. On pause. That's a good word. It definitely is on pause. But then you already see him kind of taking Petra's side. And this is a good example of how when you start to spend time with someone.
Yes, relationships develop.
How relationships develop. Because now you hear him say, no, I saw the medical records. No, she wasn't walking by that time. Well, maybe your mother, you know, maybe abuela, you know, she did have a head injury. So maybe she was seeing things. Like, he's already... He's repeating the stuff that Petra is saying.
Because he's an idiot. And the one thing that pisses me off about this situation is that, first of all, Mr. Raf, don't you remember that Petra's Magda was in the wheelchair for 5 years? Like, the entire time? And, oh, she had some medical stuff go down, and now she can walk? And everything
that...
Petra
lied about her name!
Everything! About her name, about everything. She lied about everything.
So what makes you think now all of a sudden
that's
she's
what's unbelievable
be
because
honest.
She's so good about playing it straight. She's so good about just acting like, oh, well, of course not. I mean, she wasn't walking at that time. Well, sweetheart, I can do that too. It's called acting. Are you kidding?
Right. And the plumber, really?
Ah, man, and he's lucky. And Yvonne was the one who said, I would want nothing more than to see you and your mother rot in prison, but I don't want Milos to kill me. Because Milos is up Petra's butt and wants
Milos
to do everything for him.
Isn't he the guy that bought her the shares
yes,
in the hotel?
Yes, and so what Petra did was confide in her ex-boyfriend. And of course, ego and people who like to be, who like when women go to comfort them,
mm-hmm.
Or any person when someone comes to you for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, what does he do? He calls Yvonne. He sets that up, mm-hmm. sets everything up, and then sends Petra medical records. Petra gives it to Raph. Raph opens his mouth, and then Jane blew that. She became Mama Bear
mm-hmm.
right away.
Like, oh, you're crazy! If you think I'm going to let my child be around your crazy ex-wife. I don't blame her.
This is a telenovela, y'all.
Isn't it? And sometimes it's called real life.
And sometimes it's called real life because we all know that's happened for
some
people, right?
Some people right now who wish they made some other choices with their baby mamas.
Oof, I bet.
Yeah.
I know too many also. I know some ratchet baby mamas and I know some
ratchet
baby,
baby daddies.
Yes.
I think I know more ratchet baby daddies than I do baby mamas.
Likewise.
Yeah. But oh, well, it's called life. It's called, like, this is life.
Right?
Thank God it's not my life. This is one of the reasons why I was like, I will not be having sex until I get married.
I know.
Not want a crazy baby daddy.
I'm just
with
kidding.
Some crazy baby mama drama.
You're no, right, girl. You're right. All right. Well, and that concludes the episode. It was to be continued, which was so good. Yeah. I love it. I'm so excited.
Okay, I didn't take notes. You did.
And then Giselle says hello. Sorry that she missed out on today as well.
I know, Giselle.
But, okay, so just let us know what you... I mean, my predictions next week is specifically that we're going to see the relationships develop. Beside all of them.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see them develop. And we forgot to talk about Michael and Nadine, how she was on Sinestro's list. Did you see his eyes water up? I
yeah.
was like, who is on that list?
No, it was because of her. It was
yeah,
his partner.
Was,
and, like,
yeah,
he had so much time that just got wasted.
Man, yeah, that was pretty deep. I can't wait to see what happens with that.
Where can they find you, Madison?
You could find me on Twitter at Madison Chase Fit, on Instagram, Madison Chase Fitness, and my website MadisonChaseFitness.com, and YouTube OneMadChase.
Excellent. And just don't forget to continue the discussion with us on Twitter and on YouTube. You can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Georgie and on Instagram at TheStephanieGeorgie. Thank y'all so much for watching, and we will catch up with you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.